of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Amen. Last week, we spoke about returning to your first love. And during the midweek service, we spoke about love like fire. And we were explaining that your love for God can be likened unto fire. But a very important question that must be asked and answered is, why do Christians even leave their first love in the first place? And how do they get to that point? I know that we answer that question. We said that it is possible for a person to get caught up in the work of the Lord and forget the Lord of the work and just get carried away. But there is something deeper I want to show us this morning. Why do people get carried away? There is something that many people have not explained, and for the first time, I believe God has given me an insight to explain this. It's called spiritual slumber. Say after me, spiritual slumber. You see, when a man sleeps in the natural, even though he has life in him, there is almost no difference between him and someone who is dead. If two people are lying down and one is dead and one is sleeping, if you are not told, or if you don't go close to them to check their breath or their pulse, they may not look any different. Are you with me? Because when the man is sleeping, even though he has life in him, he is not conscious of anything happening around him. In fact, the Bible refers to natural death as sleep many times. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 13 to 14, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 14. Paul is teaching them. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, from the context, what is sleep here? Death. Natural death. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? So he's likening physical death to natural sleep. Because at the coming of Christ, we will rise again. Are you with me? So he's saying, even though a Christian dies, because he will rise again in Christ, he's sleeping. He's just sleeping. You know, even in John chapter 11, when Jesus was going to wake Lazarus from death, he said, "He's asleep. I'm going to wake him up." Are you with me? So, I'm just trying to show you how sleep can be likened to death. However, there is something called a spiritual sleep. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. Even in this 1 Thessalonians that we just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talked about natural death as sleep. Now, chapter 5, you will see him talk about a spiritual sleep, that the person can be alive yet sleeping. Go to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 5. Everybody now read this one. 1, 2, 3, go. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. You know what? Start again. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, is this saying we should not sleep as human beings? That's not what it's saying. So, this is something deeper than, are you with me? Than natural sleep. He says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and of an helmet, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Glory. Now, are you seeing that he has spoken about physical death in reference to natural sleep? But now in chapter 5, he's talking about something deeper where there is a spiritual sleep. And he's referring to spiritual sleep in the sense that when a person is sleeping spiritually, he is akin to somebody who is disconnected from God. Because the one who is sleeping sleeps in the night. Are you with me? And then he's telling you, let us not sleep as others. Who has followed me to this point? So what is spiritual slumber? Or spiritual sleep? Spiritual sleep or slumber is a state where even though you are not dead spiritually, but you have gone into a state where you are no longer conscious of what is happening in your life spiritually. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Spiritual slumber or sleep is a state where even though you are not dead spiritually, but you have gone into a state where you are no longer conscious or in step with what is happening in your life spiritually. Because, see, when a person is dead, that one is dead. But when a person is sleeping spiritually, he's not spiritually dead, though. But even though there is life within him, he's asleep. Are you with me? The Bible says in Psalm 13 verse 3, David was praying. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. This is not something that happens to the unbeliever, because the unbeliever is dead. Are you with me? The unbeliever is disconnected from Christ. He's dead spiritually. This is something that happens to Psalm 13 verse 3, please. This is something that happens to the believer, because the believer has life in him, but he's asleep. The unbeliever is already disconnected from God. This is not something that happens to outsiders. It happens to Christians. Look at Romans 13 from verse 11. Romans 13 verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 13 from verse 11. Now, can we all read 1, 2, 3, go with a very loud voice? And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So now the people he's talking to have believed, right? Come on, are you with me? They have believed, right? Yeah. So he's telling them, even though you have believed, you have been sleeping. But now, it is high time to awake out of sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The salvation here is not talking about when you got born again. The salvation is talking about the coming of the Lord. Are you with me? He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So, this kind of sleep happens to believers. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So, how do you know a person has slept off spiritually? How do you know? Let me give a good example. Have you seen someone holding his phone or a biro, and he begins to doze off, and because of the sleep, the phone or the biro almost falls from his hand. Have you seen something like that before? He seems to have little or no grip. One of the very first signs that a person is sleeping spiritually is little or no restraint to sin. Did you hear what I just said? When there is little or no restraint towards sin, he doesn't seem to have the ability to fight back. He knows he's wrong. It's obvious he's wrong. But somehow, he just flows with sin. No restraint. Please, are you with me? Little or no restraint towards sin. He doesn't know how to hold himself back. When you hear somebody saying things like, I don't know. Once the temptation comes, I just fall. I don't even know why. That's one of the very earliest signs that he's dozing off spiritually. The second sign, now pay attention to this one, is called spiritual incoherence. Spiritual incoherence. And I'm going to explain. This one is not just little or no restraint. He cannot seem to have a grip of what is going on in his life. He's incoherent. In fact, I'm going to show you a text. He will say, I'm going to do this. And then he goes and does the exact opposite. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You will see the person say, I am going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he steps up and goes and does the exact opposite. Complete opposite. He is doing things that is surprising both him and those that know him. Are you with me? You know, I was talking to a lady, a woman. She was telling me why she divorced her husband. She said, I couldn't understand this man. There were things he was doing, and I was wondering, what is going on? He will just wake up one day, carry the house rent, go and play betting. I mean, like, 1.2 million. He will just go, play bet, finish the money. When he comes back, they will ask him, sir, what's going on? Rent is closed. See, I use this to play bet. In fact, somebody shout, Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
So she said she let that one go. One day he woke up, went, sold the car. Listen, real life story. He sold their car, went somewhere, started buying pepper soup, eating and drinking, and then started trekking back home. She asked him. He said, don't you know trekking is better than driving? The man said it. After some weeks, he said, oh, what did I do? How come? How did I sell this car? How come? You see, incoherence. Incoherence. Some of you have even gone through what I'm talking about. No, I'm not attacking you. This is a serious thing. Are you with me? I've seen men. That's why, see, the realm of the spirit. When I tell us, pray, do like this, do like that. In fact, I've seen men. I asked him, why are you cheating on your wife? The man told me, I don't know. I don't know. But I know that every day, 11 p.m., something comes over me and I'm not myself. please, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not myself. I've seen people stand up, resign from jobs, and 4 years later they said, what came over me? Incoherence. Incoherence. Please, are you listening to me? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first one was likened to this. That one is common with sin. You see somebody, why did you do this? I don't even know. But he's doing it. He comes back, he cries about it, he vows, I will never do this thing again. I will never commit this sin again. But he remembers his vow after he has done it again. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 to 26. I want to show you a text of the Bible you may never have seen before. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach or able to teach, patient, verse 25. Everybody read verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Do you see that? That do what? They oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So the picture here is as though this person has slept off spiritually and the devil came and kidnapped them. He took them and now they are under captive and they don't even know. So they'll say, I'm going like this. Then they go like this. Spiritual incoherence. Number three. Sign that the person is sleeping spiritually is spiritual stillness. So, let me be sure you are following. Sign that the person has slept off spiritually is number one is what? Say it louder. Number one is what? Little or no restraint towards sin. Number two is what? Spiritual incoherence. Number three is what? Spiritual staleness. So what does it mean by spiritual staleness? It means you cannot remember the last time you got a direction from God about your life. You cannot remember the last time God spoke to you or you got a leading concerning your life. Do you know how serious that is? Some people no dream. No vision, nothing. No guidance from God about the future. They are just wondering. Autopilot, anywhere belly face, I they go. Nothing from God. They are just going. They are still spiritually. Some of them, the last time they got a leading was 10 years ago. Some 15 years ago. They may be sleeping spiritually. Let me show you from the Bible. Look at Romans 11 verse 8. You know, this spiritual stillness, I can talk about it a lot. Even some of you have had dreams before where in the dream, somebody is coming to fight you, oppress you, but you are awake and you are struggling to shout Jesus. Who knows what I'm talking about? And you're wondering, is it not me? Nobody me be this. You wake up, you can say Jesus, but in the dream you couldn't. The sleep was deep in the spirit. In the spirit, the person is asleep. The strength in his spirit man to respond, he doesn't have it. Even though in the natural, he's macho. But in the spirit, he's asleep. Romans 11 verse 8. It says, according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So, this was actually judgment to a particular group of Israelites. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. It says, what then Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Let me tell you, it is part of God's judgment to some people when he's speaking to them repeatedly and they are rejecting his guidance, rejecting his voice. After a while, the spirit of slumber comes upon them. It happened to Saul. The Bible says at a certain point, the Lord spoke to him not by vision, not by dream, not by prophet, nothing. And Saul, who was, he had worked with God before, he knew he was scared. He knew that I couldn't be here. The problem now is there are people who have lived 15 years, no direction from God, and they don't think there is a problem. They are okay. They are going. They are okay. Even this thing we say in church, where we say, lift up your hands, shout glory. There are some people, it is very difficult. You know why? They are sleeping. In fact, let me even say this one. This one is not part of the notes, but let me say it. If you are here and you listen to a lot of what they call worldly music, music where you talk about shaking bum bum, all those kind of things, I'm not, listen to me, oh, listen to me. You will struggle to worship in church. Because one of the things it does is it will cast an atmosphere in your soul that makes it hard to respond to God. So to God you are asleep, but to the devil you are awake. Spiritual stillness. It's been long. Sometimes, even when God is showing you something, you can't seem to get any direction from it. God is showing you something very clear. God is saying it very clear, like black and white like this. But the person can still not see. I've shared that story here now. My wife shared it with me. A lady had a dream. She saw her. You remember the story, right? Some of you remember the story. Let me share it for those who cannot remember. Her friend sells this thing they call bail, right? Yes, sir. Where ladies' clothes, trousers, shirt, top, blouses, gowns, bra, and those kind of things. And she had a dream. Her friend brought the bail to her house. She saw a bra, liked it. It's nice, oh. Wore it and saw a scorpion come out from the bra and enter her breast. She had the dream. She woke up and said, I remember my dream. That same day, her friend came with bail. She saw the exact same cloth, exact same bra, took it and said, I dream about this, you know, and wore it. Guess what? She's asleep. And from there, she began to have breast cancer. They checked everything. No trace of anything inside her, but the woman was dying. It was there. She now opened up to her daughter. I get one dream one time. You see, it took her months of affliction for her to wake up. I pray for you. Close your eyes and raise your hands. In today's service, you are awoken. Amen. You wake up spiritually. Amen. You wake up spiritually. Amen. You wake up spiritually. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Stillness. I've been a pastor for a while, so I understand what I'm saying. When a woman walks up to you and says something like, I don't know how I married the person I married. Like, what do you mean? What are you telling me? He said, the last I remembered, I was in final year in the university. 6 years later, I woke up and I'm like, what am I doing in this man's house? Three children. That one was a deeper one. She came under something. Spiritual stillness. Number four, reduced potential. See, no matter how powerful a warrior is, he won't have the same strength when he's asleep. He's not as dangerous when he's asleep. Are you with me? Reduced potential. Now, let me show you something in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and chapter 4. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1. He says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." If you read it like this, you may not really get the point. Read it in NIV or NLT. It says, NIV, "And the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare," meaning it was scarce, "and there were not many visions." The people were stale spiritually, so they were disconnected from what God was saying. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This was the state of Israelites at this time. Now, I will show you the consequence of this in chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, from verse 1 to 11, you will see a very interesting story. They went to battle. Israel went to battle against the Philistines. And as the battle began to unfold, 4,000 men were killed. Are you with me? At Aphek. 4,000 men. So when Israel saw that the Philistines had killed 4,000 men, they were like, let's... this battle cannot continue like this. Let's go and bring the ark of God. That was a desperate attempt to try to use the power of God. And are you with me? In time of battle, to try to use the power of God and beat down their enemies. And so they went and brought the ark of God and they began to rejoice. When the Philistines heard the rejoicing of the Israelites, they were like, the ark is here. Their gods are here. We are finished. But the Philistines told themselves, you know what? Quit yourselves like men and fight. So the Philistines began to fight. And guess what? They killed 30,000 more Israelites. That means the ark did not work. Their potential did not speak. And they were wondering, what is happening? Why is the ark not working? What's happening? The reason why it was not working was because in chapter 3, they were already asleep. So by the time they were trying to gather themselves and put the ark, it was not working. This is the same thing that happens to many people. They have been asleep for a long time spiritually. In the face of battle, they are saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's like Jesus is not working. It's not because the name of Jesus does not have power. It's because of the person handling it. Peter, am I talking to you? Because now, the ark was a sacred thing. But you see, sacred things only work in the hands of sacred people. Please, am I talking to you? Reduced potential. When you see yourself, you are doing so much, but the output is extraordinarily low. You are putting so much effort. It's like there is an invisible glass ceiling or glass limitation. You can't see it, but you are doing everything possible. But when the output comes out, you're like, how come? How come? How? How? The person might just be asleep spiritually. Reduce potential. Please, am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Reduce potential. Jesus. Number 5. So let me be sure you are following. Number 1 is what? How do you know a person has slept off spiritually? Number 1 is what? Little or no restraint towards sin. Number 2 is what? Spiritual incoherence. Number 3 is what? Spiritual staleness. Number 4 is what? Reduced potential. Number 5 is what? Are you waiting for me? So number 5 is deep distraction and restlessness. When a person is deeply distracted and continuously restless, he is doing everything except the very thing he knows he's supposed to do. Oh, Jesus. You know, when I think about things like this, I remember some phrases that Jesus used. When the rich young ruler came to meet him in Mark chapter 10, and was asking, what will I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all you have, take your cross and follow me. My emphasis is not even that context. It is the way Jesus phrased his word, one thing thou lackest. There are some of you, you know the exact thing you will do. That if you do this thing, your future will open up. But do it now.
You wake up, he said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this today. Do it. And the person is persistently restless. That's when one thing will come up. You will pay attention here. You will go here. Before you know, that week has gone. You did not do it. Persistently restless. Deeply distracted. When it's as if you are under a spell to be distracted, you are asleep spiritually. You know, Jesus was talking with Mary and Martha when they went to their house. In Luke chapter 10, from verse 38 to 42. Martha was busy trying to arrange food for Jesus, trying to prepare this for Jesus, trying to, and at some point she said, why won't you tell Mary to come and join me? Jesus said, you are cumbered about many things. You are distracted about many things. Can I tell you something? Everything that you are paying attention to apart from God is unimportant. Don't use your life and find out, though. This lesson I just told you. Eh? This lesson I just told you right now. You know, you tell people come to church or pray or study your Bible or pay attention to God. How long is they'll say, I was just tired. I just wanted to rest. How long is the prayer? How long is the church? Okay, 2 hours. The 2 hours on Sunday. Out of 168 hours in a week. And the devil will make you believe that is that 2 hours. That 2 hours that is more important for your rest than any all the other 168 hours. You don't know. Satan, they play you. They play you. Sometimes, it may not even be prayer or spirituality. Just to pick up that material and read. Something career-wise. Your job, they gave you a tax. You will be distracted until they tell you it is one night to submit it. You are now going that way. If you notice that kind of pattern consistently in your life, where you will be given tax to do, you will not pay attention to it until you are this close. You might just be asleep spiritually. Are you with me? Let me tell you. The reason why I'm vehement about these things, Satan does not wait for you to grow. These things begin to affect people from secondary school, university. Jesus. I didn't understand many of these things then. I was a Christian, but I was not that this deep. During my final year, we had a project. I read mechanical engineering. We're fabricating a cashew nut shelling machine. That project was tedious. We used 1 year to work on the project, though. As we resumed the 500 level like this, we started working on the project. We were four in the group. I had one of my course mates in that group. I don't understand what was going on with that guy. Now I know what was going on with him. Let's stay back and work on the project. He say, I'm busy. I want to go and eat. I mean, he wants to go and eat. He will travel. He won't come back for 1 month. 1 month I will be in the factory working. We have day of project. It was after 8 months of work. Day of defense. He came and met me. I said, defense day tomorrow. Please, give me something where I go fit talk. Like, how do I compress 8 months in 1 hour? So I gave him my slides. I said, copy anything you can copy. Just do something. Make sure you have something to say. We went for the defense. The wicked lecturer. You know the battle the devil now did? And I said, I should defend first. So my plan was that they would defend. He would do his own. Or I would do their own. Then me, I will now present my own. So that they will not use me as a standard to judge them. The man just came in. Where is? Come out. Hey. When he opened, I just said, Jesus. This is the end. He came in. He was talking. Sorry, it was me they told to defend first. I finished. Then they called him. Next, they called that the other people that did better, they didn't call them, it was him. I called him out when he started. The external lecturer said, excuse me,
is this the same project the person that defended also did? He said, yes. He said, get out. He said, see that door? Get out. Just get out. So later I was thinking about it. But this boy knew now. How come 8 months he was consistently unserious? Consistently, we beg him. In fact, we did his project for him. Oh, yeah. Don't do anything. Just write it. Just come and type. Just type. Just be typing. Just type as we are telling you. He did not type. Nothing. No, it was a night to the defense. You want to type, print, bind, explain. How? It was later, some years later, I was praying and the Lord showed me about the young man. He was just wondering like this in the spirit. Just wondering. See, when you become a parent, pray for your children. Am I talking to you? Please, am I talking to you? Pray for your children. Pray. I pray for you. You will not sleep off. Deep distraction. Consistently. Consistently. Restlessness. And the final one. How do you know a person has slept off spiritually? A dead devotional life. This one is the finality of them all. No prayer. No life of the world. Once you see any of these signs, this person has slept off spiritually. So, God, we will finish this morning in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you, is this an important teaching? So why do people sleep off spiritually? Number one, excessive comfort. Excessive comfort. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Meaning, God wants you to be in health and prosper, but not at the expense of your soul. Beloved, I wish above all things that you will be in health and prosper, even as thy soul prospereth. So as you are prospering in your finances, in your health, in wealth, make sure that your soul is also prospering. Are you with me? Look at Matthew 13 from verse 22. It says, He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. We believe in riches in this church. You know that, right? We believe in prosperity. You can go and listen to our teachings in March about money. But we must put it in the same priority that God puts it. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes,
please prove to me you are not sleeping. Are you with me?
Yes,
excessive comfort. When your life begins to get better, make sure your conviction becomes deeper. When your life starts getting better, make sure your fire keeps getting hotter. Don't allow prosperity quench your fire. Don't allow breakthrough quench your fire. Are you with me? There are some of you, God knows, if he gives you 1 billion like this, you are off. In the last days, the love of many will ask cold. You just freeze. Freeze like this. Ice block. When God begins to increase you, make sure your fire increases. Because, like they say, for every level, there are new devils. I am telling you, there are temptations that will come because you have become big. The person that is planning to carry side chick is because he has money to carry side chick. That's why. If he was broke, he would not plan it. Are you with me? If he was broke, there will not be any plan. He will be a holy man without knowing. It's because there is money. That's why. You know, when you look at the life of David and Solomon, it happened to both of them. When David was running from Saul, he did not remember that somebody was bathing. He was running for his life. He was praying in cave Adullam. Oh God, you are my help and my shield. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my song and my salvation. He was writing and praying. God now blessed him. He became king. Now he can stay in the palace, send his soldiers and generals for war, and he can have time to stroll and say, what's that flower there? My God. Send it for me. You can look and remove your eye, but he look and say, I can plan it. It's workable. too much comfort. Let me tell you, when God begins to increase you, have greater priorities. Are you with me? Greater priorities. It happened to Solomon too. Solomon became so wealthy by chapter 11 of 1 Kings. And the king loved many strange women. That's what the Bible said. He loved many strange women. Strange. Comfort. How do people sleep off spiritually? Continuous compromise. Continuous compromise. When you are consistently allowing yourself fall into the things that you said you will not do. When you allow yourself consistently. Because you see, those of you, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Where there is a point where you fall into sin and you feel bad. But there is a way you allow yourself continue, you will no longer feel bad. Your conscience has been deadened. After a while, it begins to affect your spirit, man. You are beginning to sleep in the spirit. Please, are you with me? Continuous compromise. This is what happened to Samson. If we start the life of Samson, Samson, because of his anointing, he felt, I can do anything I want to do. There is no repercussion. The parents will tell him, don't do this. He will go and do it. That's as they are saying like this, he will stand up and go and do it. They told him, don't marry a lady from the Philistines. He said, hey, really? You mean it? I should not marry from the Philistines. He stood up like this and went and picked a Philistine girl. Before Delilah, you can read Judges chapter 14 to chapter 16. As they told him, he just stood up like this from there. I can do it. He went, picked. They told him, don't do this one. He said, me? I will do it. A continuous life of compromise, consistently. After a while, he did not know that the more he was doing that, the more he was slipping off spiritually. Soon, he started becoming a liar because he now got married to Delilah. Oh, I didn't see that. No, are you serious? Delilah will ask him, didn't you not know that Samson was deeply asleep spiritually? Somebody is asking you, what is the source of your power? What is the source of your strength? You tell her, if you use some ropes and tie me, then I will be as weak as another man. And she did it. Sin's supposed to fall on you. Say, this girl won't kill me. This girl won't kill me. But no, he still went on. And when she asked him, he will lie again. He became Delilah because he was staying with Delilah. She was doing the exact thing. After like two times, she's supposed to say, this girl wants to kill me. But no, he's asleep. He does. He cannot. You see what is happening now? Spiritual incoherence. She's doing the exact things to kill you and you are still there. Do you know what brought him to that point? Consistent compromise. Consistently. So now he has lost his bearing in the spirit and he's just there. If you read, let's look at something. Judges 16 from verse 16. Say after me, I'm blessed. Judges 16 from verse 16. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Read on. And that he told her all his heart and said unto her, they had not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord's of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Verse 19. Everybody read verse 19 with a loud voice. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. How can they be shaving your hair and you are still asleep?
That you can be sleeping when they are negotiating your destiny is proof that you have slept off spiritually too. Are you with me? Now look at verse 20. See the consequence of it. Verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. But he was sleeping spiritually. But he awoke physically. Remember, the same thing that happened to Israel where they brought the ark and were trying to shake themselves with the ark is the same thing happening here now. Reduced potential. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Continuous compromise causes people to sleep. Finally, why do people sleep off spiritually? Now, this one, a lot of people fall into this one. Discouragement. Seeming delay and discouragement. Matthew 25 from verse 5. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So sometimes when it seems like God is taking too long, when it seems like things are not working out the way you want it to work out, when you begin to find yourself get to a point of steady, consistent discouragement because of a delay from God, begin to speak to yourself. I judge God faithful. I thought you would say it after me. I judge God faithful. I will not give up. I will not give in. God has a plan for my life. This is not the end. It's a new beginning. Discouragement will not take over me. I will be strong in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. I'm awake! Discouragement. It says, why the bridegroom tarried? They all slumbered and slept. When sometimes you look at your life and you are praying, you are fasting, you are doing everything right, and things do not seem to be working out the way it ought to work, you can get to a point where, what's the use? What's the use of praying? What's the use? Maybe this is who I am. Maybe there's nothing really much to me. It's a lie! Tell your neighbor it's a lie. Yeah. That's the lie of the devil. He's trying to get you to agree and sleep off, so that he can take the person captive. You will see people say, you know what, I'm not going to church again. God, I'm angry with God. I have a beef. That thing, you are angry with God. You are sleeping off. Discouragement. What are the dangers of slumber? Misalignment. Disalignment from God's plan. Luke 22, verse 25 to 46. Jesus came and told his disciples, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. Lest ye enter into temptation. There is a way a man has slept off so much, he will start finding himself in the wrong kind of situations. Why is Peter around the girl that will ask him, were you part of them? The problem was not whether he was part or not part, or whether he denied. Why was he being asked that question? No, you think it's easy. You saw soldiers, they just catch your master. You are there. You are not a Pharisee, but you are not falling from afar. All the other disciples have gone. No? Peter was close enough to even deny. All the others had run away. We can criticize Peter for denying, but all the others took off. Sharp. You don't know how wicked the Roman soldiers are. Have you ever heard of that term, excruciating? Have you heard of that term before? Excruciating. That was an English word that was coined to describe the kind of pain that the person experiences in crucifixion. So from crucifixion, they got excruciating, meaning this is a kind of pain that is the result of crucifixion, excruciating pain. They were master killers.
Peter now saw his master, he did go. I will say I'm part of them. They catch me too. I don't know him. I say I don't know him. What's your problem? I don't know him. What? Please, see. Have you seen me before? Do I know you before? But before that time, Jesus told him, arise and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The girl would have passed, looked at him and said, and continue going. There are some of you, if you have been praying the way you, there are so many complicated, it's now complicated, this whole thing is now complex. You were sleeping. Are you following me? Vulnerability to attacks. Matthew 13 verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. While men slept. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, because he cannot devour everybody. So he's seeking those he can devour, those that are not vigilant. Are you with me? These are the dangers of spiritual slumber. So, Pastor, I've heard you. What is the cure? What is the cure? The cure for spiritual slumber is personal revival. Tell anyone, personal revival. Yeah, shout glory, shout glory. And that revival will begin, first of all, by an awareness that you have been sleeping. When you check everything we've talked about, when you begin to realize I've been sleeping, and then you now take responsibility to do something about it. Ephesians 5 verse 14 says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know why I like this text? It says, awake, then it says, arise. Because you can wake up from sleep, look at the time, 3 a.m., and go back and sleep. Some of you, it happened to you this morning. You woke up. You were awake. But instead of you to do something, instead of you to enter the bedroom and pour water upon yourself with your cloth on top, if you do that, you really wake up. If you don't wake up when they pour you water and there's cloth on you, your case. I saw something online. The building was collapsing. Somebody was sleeping. They were shooting gun outside. First, thunder struck the building. Those kind of people, carry them like that. Kidnap them for their own good. When you awake, you must arise. So after you have come into a realization that you have been sleeping, you must take personal responsibility for personal revival. Are you with me? Can somebody just scream out loud, awake!
Awake!
Say it louder, awake! So, sometimes, even God, by his sovereign intervention, can try to just jolt you out of yourself. Sometimes, it has happened to many of you. You just wake up, like, what have I been doing? What have I been doing? It comes to a lot of us, many times. You just, what's going on with my life? Let me tell you something here. I understand this thing so well. That's why I made up my mind that I will not be a pastor that people get tired of when they want to be serious with God. When they want to be really serious with God, they should not get tired. I should not be a pastor. They have to say, I'll not do again. A lady told me one time, she has been attending the church for long. One day she just asked herself, am I growing spiritually? What am I? She was a baddie, real baddie. Runs gay. One day she just walked in the church, stood up and said, if I continue like this, I'm not going anywhere. You know what's happening? God, by his sovereign acts, supernaturally jolted her out of herself. If you go back to that 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 26, from verse 25 to 26, it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So God can give them repentance. This is not even about them. God can cause an awareness to come upon them. Are you with me? That they may recover themselves. That they may do what? Wait, that they may do what? Recover themselves. So you have a personal responsibility to. Are you with me? Yes,
that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil.
Tell your neighbor, you will recover yourself today.
Tell your neighbor, you are recovering yourself today.
Are you with me?
And then when you wake up, you must arise. You must arise. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness. You will not tell yourself, this thing will not continue. This thing, it will stop. This habit, you are stopping now. You know about the prodigal son, right? Luke 15, verse 17 to 18. He says, and when he came to himself, when he came to himself, this one, it came by the sovereign act of God. He just realized. When he came to himself, he began to say, my father has many servants and I'm here struggling. Then in verse 18, he said, I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. You know, when I think about that text there, many times I've used that text to explain the love of God. That the father was watching out for him to come. But guess what? The father was waiting for him. The father did not force him. That's why many people, they will have this awakening, you know. They will come to church. But what do you do after? What do you do after? You have to push yourself and tell yourself, enough, enough, enough is enough. It is time for a change. The problem is, after you have awoken, if you don't do anything, time will still pass again. And you may still sleep again. Do you realize that when you study the Bible, Jacob needed 20 years. He used 20 years to wake up. When Jacob ran away from Esau, the first time he ran, he slept on a certain mountain. And on that mountain, he had an encounter. He saw angels ascending and descending. Instead of my guy to pray, he just stood up and said, God was here and I knew not. Nice one. For instance, now after this service, somebody may just say, C word. Pastor, Kai, you shall be preach. Or some people, Pastor, you too preach. I mean, close service, may you go. We want to wake up. If you close, we wake up. And then he went 7 years to marry Rachel. They gave him Leah. That's short form. They gave him a lie. But no problem. They gave him Leah. He didn't have 7 years. They gave him Rachel. He didn't have 6 years for his wages. They changed the wages 10 times. Then one day, he says, he just woke up like, what am I doing here? 20 years. 20 years. And then they told him that Esau is coming to kill him. That is when he said, Omo, if I don't fight now, I'm gone. That was when he had to pray one night and his name was changed. So that means if he prayed that night that he slept on the rock, his name would have been changed. He would have saved 20 years. Maybe the direction of his life would have been different. It does not take God eternity to do something eternal. If you decide to wake up this morning, the next 10 years can look different. Remember in the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, when they woke up, what was the first thing they did? They trimmed their lamps. They put fire on their lamps. Can you say after me, personal revival? Some of you need to shake up that discouragement and say, Satan, you will not play me again. You know what I discovered with discouragement? Discouragement does not make anything better. Worry does not improve anything. After you have worried about your life, told yourself that you are a failure, told yourself that there is nothing good coming out from you, did anything good come out because of your worry? So the Bible now says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer! So instead of worrying, face God. Are you with me? I have one text for you. See, by now you should be praying already. Can you hear me, please?
Some of you may be saying, but Pastor, I don't try now. I have been trying to pray. I have been doing, but it doesn't seem like anything is working. Listen. Psalm 80 verse 18. It says, so we will not depart from thee. Quicken us and we will call upon thy name. So you will get to a point where you tell God, whether you answer me now, whether you answer me later, I'm not going anywhere. Instead of me to cry, I will come and bring my tears before thee. Instead of me to worry, I will hold on to thee. I will not depart from thee. You will quicken me. Jump on your feet and begin to pray.